Today I have a sermon outline for all of you, and please use pen or pencils to fill out the blank spots over there. It will be helpful for all of us to see what we have, at least five values, how God has wanted to show to you and to me the model of the real manhood, God's model for the manhood. What kind of man God is looking for? What kind of man God is looking really for right now in our days, when he would like to see them dedicated to our Heavenly Father full-heartedly? Use please sermon outlines and you to have pencil or pen to fill out the blanks. What kind of man God is looking for? According to Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 30. I would like to have one more prayer with you and we will go straight into the Bible study. Our dear Heavenly Father, bless us this morning as your people, as we will open our Bibles and study your word and see what you will like personally tell me and every one of us here, what you would like to see in us, how we should serve you, dear Lord, in a special way from the bottom of our hearts. Use us today, dear Lord, as we will do this Bible study. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. According to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 19 through 30, we can see how Paul is showing us two special illustrations. He said, Paul gives us two examples on Timothy and Epaphroditus. Did I say it right, his name, Epaphroditus? Or you're saying Epaphroditus? Epaphroditus or Epaphroditus? Ditus. Okay. But in Greek, it's Epaphroditus. Anyway, but Ditus. Let's go according to how we are saying it in our days. It says right here, Paul uses his two examples of kind of men who will make a difference in the world. And he's saying, I have no one else like Timothy. No one's like Timothy. When referring to Epaphroditus, he says, hold men like him in honest, highest honor. A man's greatness is not determined by the value of his wealth, but the wealth of his value. What kind of man God is looking for? The first of values. I would like to show you five values here. What God is looking for in the life of the real man. And here we can see what God wanted to see people who put people before profit. God is looking for men who put people before profit. Over the long haul of relationships are more valuable than any other things. Last night we had a nice Bible study in our home. It's quite interesting what we started about 6:30 and we finished around 12:30. Please just don't say it to anybody, but we had a long Bible study, really nice one. And I should tell you, this is the reason why I'm sharing it with you. So often, when you are meeting with the families at the church, especially I would like to appeal to the elders right now here at the church, when you're meeting with the people, yes, your visit could be only up to 20 minutes, 10 minutes or so, but in some occasions, you need to have with the people enough time for them to unload themselves and to feel what somebody is caring, somebody is paying attention, somebody is caring. Relationship. This is what we are going to carry even while we will be in heaven. Relationships. You are not going to take with you any authority or power which you had in this world. You will not take with you any money with you. You will not take anything what you really kind of got achieved in this world except your relationships. And this is what you will remember throughout the whole eternity. How so-and-so sister talked to the other sister, and they're right now in the presence of God, they're taking care of each other, they're quite patient to each other. I know some people, it's not in your church, in some other churches, when they're sitting in the same church, in the two different rows over here, and they haven't been talking with each other for years. I'm saying real years, 20, 30 or more years. And it's amazing. They're going to the communion service every single quarter. They participate to it every service. But now what I'm trying to show to you right here, right from the beginning, what you need to put people before your prophet. People. According to the Philippians, chapter 2, it says right here, he is the only one. God is looking for men of compassion. Compassion is protecting the needs and the rights of the other people. Too often we just doing everything for ourselves, not caring for the others. And Timothy, he's using here as an illustration, as an example for all of us here, according to the Paul. He's the only one who really cares about you. He's the only one, and he's pointing, he's underlining here. Okay. Everyone else is concerned only with his own affairs, not about the cause of Christ, according to verse 20 and 21. And it's possible to get wrapped up and committed only to your business, only to your own affairs, but not to the family. Philip translates this verse, they are all wrapped up in their own affairs. The man who is all wrapped up in himself is not a real daddy. He's not a real man. He's already involved with his own business. You know, when he's using that word wrapped up, usually Egyptian mummies, they used to be wrapped up. I remember when Jesus raised up Lazarus. Lazarus came out of the grave. And Jesus said, okay, immediately unwrap him. Why? Because he was stuck. He said, okay, unwrap him. So often you guys and me, we're getting so wrapped up with all the other businesses in the world, but we are not taking care of the others and they are not paying attention how we really need to pay attention to the others when we are caring. And here Jesus is using it as an illustration about the Samaritan. He couldn't find anyone from the Jewish nation. And he used the Samaritan as an illustration, as an example. And here's what Jesus is saying. He was on a business trip from Jerusalem to Jericho. Along the road, he found somebody who was marked as a victim. He stopped and what he was doing to him, administrating all what he could do. And he helped him. And he took him, maybe according to our terminology, we'll say, he took him to the Holiday Inn, gives him his gold card, and says, charge it to my account. Compassion for a total stranger. Will you or I do that to the stranger in our days? Yesterday morning, stranger. He came to the Hilo Church and asked me, he said, Pastor, it's great what you are here this morning. I have a question for you. I need your help. I need to fly to Honolulu. Could you help me? I don't have any money. And I asked him, do you have an ID, sir? Do you have any ID? No, he had no idea. At least I asked him if he will provide for me an ID, and after that we will talk. I pray for him, and we are going to meet each other next week. But so far, many people are approaching us at the church setting, and they're requesting immediately for help. In our days, you need to be open-minded, but still do your best to help for the God's glory. Okay, what about the next step? Consistency. This is what the next value is Paul paying attention to. God is looking for the man who puts character before conformity. What's that conformity means? Traditional values. Traditional values. He's not afraid to be a different from the culture around, and that person is ready and ready to stay on. According to the verse 22, Timothy has proved himself. He has served with me in the work of the gospel. Paul says proved, means tested, character of integrity. Timothy means he honors God, but he proved himself according to verse 22. It's amazing how Paul is underlining that. He's showing to us what he was standing firm. Somebody said, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. If you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. What are you really standing for in our days? What are we really caring for? I know what some people are slightly complaining to me. They're saying, Pastor, you have no idea. About in the last 20 years or so, we as a Seventh-day Adventist church, we swept to one other side of the pendulum when we were talking only about 10 commandments, 10 commandments, 10 commandments. And look at the whole generation They are not at the church right now because we only talk about the Ten Commandments and we forgot about grace and mercy of the Lord. Now when we are preaching only about grace and mercy of the Lord, people are saying, oh, I'm not sure how we even should keep the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, what should we do and what should we not do? People are questioning right now in our days how we really should keep the Sabbath. But the only resource and the clear information you can find easily in the Bible, what you should do on the Sabbath and what should you not do. Because it's your day when you're dedicating your life to Jesus. 24 hours from your life during that week when you say, Lord Jesus, once again, because you as a creator, I would like to spend this time with you in the personal relationship. You know, for Adam and Eve, this is the first day of their life. Why God put this day aside? Because it's a day, it's a birthday of our earth. For Adam and Eve, God put that day aside. Why? Because he spent enough time with them to educate them about their life and let them go during their week time. If we will just put this day aside and say, okay, Lord Jesus, help me to be completely honest with you and dedicate these hours to you and be faithful to you throughout the week. Okay, the next verse is showing to us what Paul is saying according to the Proverbs. It says, but the man of integrity walks securely, but he who talks crooked path will be found out. The bottom line for the manhood is integrity. It means honesty. A nice personality will make a good first impression, but success over the long haul is built on a character, not an image. The man of honesty will not be afraid of what he is going to be found out. Recently, I had another talk in our church. A couple of the ladies came over, and we questioned and debate the question about 1888 message committee, 1888. And then I asked that particular sister, I asked her, are you the member of the 1888 committee? And her response immediately, I cannot answer that question. Thank you. It's a real story. But honestly, if we are really honest, we should not be afraid what we are standing for. If I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, I will publicly say it. If I'm a pastor, I will say it. We need to be honest. If you are the Seventh-day Adventist and representing God in your home setting, you're always going to be a Seventh-day Adventist, and your wife will admire you, and your kids will obey you and admire you, because you're always, 24/7, you're dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're working outside of your home environment, we will still pay attention to you and see what you are quite a different person, because you're dedicated your life to Jesus, and you're waiting for his return. It's a wonderful heritage to have an honest father, according to the Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. Next statement, according to the words of Paul, cooperation, men who put cooperation before competition. Cooperation. You know, my dear beloved, what God created us quite differently as men and women. Many times I already shared this idea with all of you here. What God created Adam, and after that he said these prominent words, Adam needs some help, and he created woman. He said, Adam needs some help, and he created Eve. But for after the Eve, he didn't say what Eve needs some help, at least. It's quite clear what it's a Eve is a culmination of God's creation. But it's quite interesting what when God created man, man was created by God with a special reason and purpose to achieve his goal. And most of the men, we are not even thinking about this, but we are like hunters. We're trying to achieve our goal. We're going forward for our destination. We have an aim in the future. We would like to reach that. And so often we are forgetting about all the other relationships. But God created Eve with a special reason to help and assist. And so often then man wanted to achieve his goal. He's saying, okay, just leave me alone. I will do it myself. Don't touch me and so on. Because he would like to do it alone only. But woman, she wants to talk. I can talk with you, he will say. No, I cannot. I'm not ready yet. But because God created us in such a way, she wants to talk. This is how she is expressing her feelings. But for him, leave me alone. Let me just think it through. Okay, and this is exactly how God created. Give him his space and his time. And if she would like to talk, talk with her and learn how you can be responsive and you can listen, especially when she would like to give you an advice or so. It says right here, according to verse 25, I think it's necessary to send back you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier. Look at this text. What he's saying here. My brother, worker, soldier. What he's trying to say. You know, my brother, great guy, my youngest brother, I'm not always agree with him, what he's doing in his life, how he's trying to achieve his goals and his destinations, but he's still my brother. And I still have personal relationship with him as my brother. If I'm agree with him or disagree, he's still my brother. This is what Paul is pointing. Relationship supposed to be on the first level. He's still your brother in Christ. He's still your sister in Christ. Relationship, it's the first priority. The next step, it's worker and soldier. Worker and soldier. Three things about the Christian life, which we need to pay attention to. According to the statements over here, we need to pay attention to see what 133 times in the New Testament Paul uses the word brother to describe the relationship between Christians. Brother. It means he's talking about family relationships. No wonder even Jesus himself, when he taught us how to pray, said, "Our Father who art in heaven." It means we are all brothers, we are all sisters in Christ. And after that, the second step here, it is a fellowship. We have the same task, we have the same assignment, the same goal which we would like to reach. And the third, it is the fight. When we become a Christian, you become an enemy for devil. If you became a Christian, you became an enemy for devil. We are not on a playground over here. We are on a fighting ground. We are fighting for the truth. We would like to prove for the whole entire world who came to reveal whole truth for you and me. And we know what this is what we need to do. This is our task and our responsibility, how we need to share the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. I should read you a statement here. We are to defend each other and protect each other and support each other. It's a life. Life is a battle. Can other Christian men use these terms about you? I recently was read an article. What I found out, what even... I'm not talking about Seventh-day Adventist Church right now. I'm talking about a worldwide Christian denomination church and Christian churches all over. About 5 to 7% men have relationship and have a real friends in the church setting. 5-7% from 100. Do we, as a man, do we have friends in the church? Tonight we are going to have men's ministry at the Hilo Church. They would like to invite all of us to have a Vesper at 6 o'clock, and after that, 7 o'clock, it will be a Mexican dinner. It will be a little fellowship. But the main point of all these ministers, to bring somebody closer into the relationship with you, and through your character, you will show them the character of Christ. And this is what we need to do as a man, where we are dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. According to the Judges, Chapter 20, verse 10, it says, "So all of the men of Israel got together and united as one man against the city." And I'm wondering, if all the Seventh-day Adventist men here on the Big Island, from the Samoan Church, big guys, from the Hilo Church, from the Puna Church, will get united and say, "Okay, we would like to show the truth to the whole Big Island in an amazing way." And you know, God will use you easily if we will all will be united as one accord. If we were all united for His glory. The fourth statement, fourth commitment, according to the Paul, which He's bringing for us here, He's saying, God is looking for men who put the cause of Christ before comfort. Paul says about Epaphroditus, "He is your messenger whom you send to take care of my needs. He was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him." He was ill and almost died. Paul is in prison in Rome, and the people in Philippi took up an offering and helped Paul with all his expenses. It was more than 800 miles. And Epaphroditus, he decided to do it voluntarily for 6 weeks to travel over the tough terrain. No cars, no transportation. For 6 weeks, he went straight those 800 miles to reach his destination with the monies on his back. On the way back, he caught a disease, an infection, and it was so deadly But Epaphroditus is persistent in spite of his pain. And this is what Paul is trying to tell us. Look at all these verses. Your messenger who sent take care of my needs. He was ill and almost died. And according to the James chapter 2, verse 17, faith by itself, it is not accompanied by action, is dead. It means we simply need to prove our faith for our actions, what we can do, what we can show for the God's glory. My dear beloved, if only we as a people of God, as a church of Christ, if we will only humble ourselves and pray and seek my face according to what the God is saying himself and turn from their wicked ways, when I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. My dear beloved, we are getting close to the end of this world. We don't have so much time even to debate, to discuss, and say, okay, someday I'm going to reconcile, someday I'm going to change my opinion, someday I'm going to show myself to that particular brother or sister and have a reconciliation among our families. Time is really pushing us to the situation where we need to admit the fact that our earth is shaking and we are getting closer, very close to the end of this world. There is not only life so pleasurable over here on a big island, because do you know how close we are live to the core of this earth? In the mainland, according to the information over there, people live approximately about 35 miles to the core of this earth. In Hawaii, we live about 5 to 6 miles. It means lava is flowing just next to us over here, so close, a couple of miles from here. We're really close to the purification. When God has started to purify the whole earth, he will start from Hawaii. It means we will not have time to be ready for that. Yes, my dear beloved, we need to go forward and see what is happening in the real world. I just pulled this yesterday, 2011, recent earthquakes, last 8 to 30 days. Look at the map over here. Let me show you some facts. This is what the men usually like, facts and details. All right, look at the Indonesia. 4.8. Look at the Philippines. It just a few days ago, 4.7. Look at the Vanuatu. What about here and the bottom? It says right here, according to this map and explanation, what in Indonesia, they just had on February 15th, they had 6.1 earthquake of the magnitude. It's amazing how our earth is really shaking. And while the earth is shaking, we are waiting for something. We're still waiting. Oh, maybe some days we will just simply relax and enjoy our lives. No, there is no time. Jesus is coming very soon. We can easily see how Jesus pointed that right in the chapter to all his disciples. Luke 21, and last night for the Bible studies, we studied Matthew chapter 24. Powerful chapters about the last days and all the events, what is going to occur before Jesus will come. My dear beloved, we are really getting close. You see, watch what you are and not deceived, because many will come in my name claiming, I'm he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. And we have that the nations will raise again the nations and the kingdom against the kingdom. There will be a great earthquakes, famines, and pestilence in various places. My dear beloved, we are getting so close to the end of this world. Jesus is coming soon. But make up your mind and not worry about forehead, for you will defend yourself. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of you adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me, Jesus said, but not a hair of your head will perish. But standing firm, you will gain life. By standing firm, you will gain life. We need to be men of action. If simply we are God's people, need to be make step forward, we need to start from ourselves and humble ourselves. And we simply need to remember, if you would like to call upon his name, he will always deliver you and help you to receive his salvation. Okay, according to the last statement, number 5, Men of courage. Men who put service before security. Men who put service before security. Today's value system says do everything you can to build up your nest egg, to provide security for yourself. When we just arrived to the United States, to Wisconsin, it was in 2001. I had a hard time to actually talk in English and speak in English. I don't know, it's an amazing way how the Lord provided everything, and I've been hired by the Wisconsin Conference. In the next 3 months, I found out elderly couple throughout their whole life, they collected everything for their social security, for their retirement, for everything, just what they could do to have a nice life, live happily ever after, then they will retire. Less than 3 months, he got sick, the man of the family. And they put him to the hospital, and a couple of weeks, they moved him to the retirement place, that rehabilitation center. And in the next 2 weeks, because he got sick, his wife got sick as well. She got so depressed and suppressed because of that pressure over there. And in 3 months, they lost their homes, they lost their home, their value, their property, everything. Because everything what they earned throughout their whole life went to pay for what they just experienced over there in the hospital and that rehabilitation center. What I'm trying to say to you, all of you here, we should not build our nest only here in this world. There is no secure place. There is no social security. There is no security in this world except your security with your Heavenly Father. Rededicate yourself, please, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And think about the relationship with the others. This is what Paul is sharing with us, verse 29 through 30. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him, because almost he died for the word of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. He was risking for the Lord Jesus Christ. How often we are willing to risk for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. How we are often willing to risk when we would like to do the ministry in the church. So often we are hesitant to risk because we are afraid to step in. According to the Romans, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, and I got this translation from the Good News. So then, brethren, because of God's great mercy to us, offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God. Living sacrifice to God. Dedicated to His service and pleasing to Him only. Don't conform to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind, by complete change of your mind. Only those who give away their lives for my sake and for the sake of good news will ever know what it means to really live. If you would like to be a good elder, if you would like to be a good deacon, if you would like to be a good member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, you simply need to die for yourself and rededicate your life to Jesus. My dear friends, I grew up in Russia, in the south of Russia, and actually throughout the whole entire Russia, we had such a huge and a great influence of one person by the name Lenin. How many of you heard about him? Since 1917, after the revolution which we had over there in Russia, he became into the power. And from 17 to 29, we had a nice window of religious freedom during the time of Lenin. But during that time, he was studied a lot from Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels and all the other books he read as well. And so far, as he wrote so many other books which we needed to go through while we were at the high school and so on. And I should tell you what they openly share with us, what the religion is in Russian it's opium to the people. How you will say it in English? Opiate? At least it's a narcotic, it's a drug. Religion, it's a drug for the people. This is how they proclaim. And they say God is not existing. The whole entire country started to build their goals and try to affirm their destination in a way without God at all. And even until our days, right now, you can see right in the Red Square in Moscow, we have this particular structure, mausoleum. Lenin is lying right there. Soldiers used to stay right by the doors over there. Lines of people who proclaim openly what they don't believe in God, worshiped Lenin for more than 70 years. Worship entered into these doors over here, and the lines of people on the Red Square worshiped inside there, went over there. Actually, I've been over there twice with some of the visitors from the United States and from Germany. I just showed to them, and they went through that building. It's quite an amazing what in our days, with all our knowledge and ability to think reasonably, people worship to the dead person. He's the one who said these words. Give me 100 totally committed men and I will change the world. It seems like he achieved his goal. With totally committed men. My dear beloved, if you will not dedicate your life to God, you will automatically will serve Satan. You will be committed to work for Satan. There is no other way. The only way for us is when you will commit yourself fully to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Sister White is writing to us from the Book of Education, chapter of page 57. The greatest want of the world is what of man. Men who will not be bought or sold. Men who is in their inmost souls are the true and honest. Men who do not fear to call sin by its right name. Men whose conscience is a true to duty as the needle to the pole. Men who will stand for the right through the heaven's fall. Our last verse for today from the Book of Chronicles. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, that he may show himself strong in the heart of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Are we really ready to test ourselves, to test our hearts and say, Lord Jesus, just test me, check me, and see if I'm completely dedicated to you. This is what we are trying to see as a God's model for manhood. What kind of man God is looking for? Test yourself and rededicate yourself once again for the Lord Jesus Christ, because God is looking for the people to use. If you will get usable, God will just simply wear you out and use you for his glory, and you will be blessed. God is looking for men of compassion, men of consistency, men of cooperation, men of commitment, and men of courage. Now, I would like for all of us to pray about this, to think about this, as we will pray if God will help us to rescue us, because we are perishing in this world. Let us open our hymnals and be prepared to sing our closing song, 3, 6, 7, Rescue the Perishing. And we will pray right now and rededicate our lives to Jesus while we will sing this song right from the screen. You can hear, see the words over here, rescue the perishing. And look what is really happening in the world.